December 8, 1935. Prodigies of the Immaculate Conception. Communication of Divine Rights. How God does not want to do anything without His Celestial Mother. I was doing my round in the acts of the Divine Will, and as I arrived at the act in which the Omnipotent Fiat created the Immaculate Virgin, I stopped, and, oh! What a surprise of unheard-of prodigies united together! The enchantment of the heavens, of the sun and of all creation could not compare to it. Oh! How they were left behind in front of the Sovereign Queen! And my sweet Jesus, in seeing me so surprised, told me, "My blessed daughter, you must know that there is no beauty, nor value, nor prodigies, that can be compared to the Immaculate Conception of this celestial creature. My Omnipotent Fiat made of her a new creation, oh! How much more beautiful and more prodigious than the first! My divine volition in itself has no beginning and no end, and the greatest prodigy was that in this creature it was as if it were reborn. And not only this, but it grew in each instant, act and prayer that she did. And in this growth my will multiplied its prodigies in an infinite way. The creation of the universe was done by us in an admirable way, and it was kept by us under the empire of our creating and preserving act, without our adding anything. But in this Virgin we maintain the creating, the preserving and the growing act. This is the prodigy of prodigies, the life of our will being reborn in her, and its continuous growing in each act that she did. And in order to be reborn in her, our fiat pronounced itself in the act of her conception. And once it is pronounced, our act possesses such sumptuousness, sublimeness, height, immensity and power, as to catch everyone in the net of its love. It puts no one aside. Everyone can take the good that our operating fiat possesses, unless someone did not want to. Our divinity, in seeing this holy creature as though reborn in our will, shared with her its divine rights, in such a way that she was the owner of our love, power, wisdom and goodness, and queen of our fiat. With her growing act in our volition she captivated us. She loved us so much, to point of loving us for all. She covered all creatures, she hid them inside her love, and she made us hear the echo of the love of all and of each one. Oh! How we felt bound and made as though prisoners by the love of this most holy Virgin. More so since, as she loved us, adored us, prayed and operated with the growing act of our fiat that she possessed, so did she enclose her Creator within herself. As she loved us, so did we feel absorbed into her, unable to resist her. Her power was so great, that she dominated us and enclosed our sacrosanct Trinity within herself. And we loved her so much, that we let her do whatever she wanted. Who would have the heart to deny her anything? Rather, we felt happier in contenting her, because a soul that loves us is our happiness, for we feel the echo, the joy of our happiness in her. And one who possesses our will is life as everything for us. This is the great prodigy of one who possesses our will as life, to feel herself as sharing in its very divine rights. And with this she feels that her love never ends, and she has so much of it as to be able to love for all and give love to all. With her growing act, she never says enough to her sanctity. More so since, by possessing our will as life, the Sovereign Queen had always something to give us, always something to say. She kept us always occupied, and we had always something to give, and always our loving secrets to communicate to her, so much so, that we do nothing without her, we deal with her first, then we deposit that good in her maternal heart, and from her heart it descends into the fortunate one who must receive that good. Therefore, there is no grace that descends upon earth, there is no sanctity that is formed, there is no sinner that is converted, there is no love that departs from our throne, which is not deposited in her heart of mother first. And she forms the maturation of that good, she fecundates it with her love, she enriches it with her graces and, if needed, with the virtue of her sorrows. And then she deposits it in the one who must receive it, in such a way that the creature who receives it feels the divine paternity and the maternity of her celestial mother. We can do it without her, but we don't want to. Who would have the heart to put her aside? Our love, our infinite wisdom, our verified impose themselves on us and don't let us do anything that would not descend to her. See then, to what extent our love reaches, for one who lives of divine will, to the point of doing nothing without her. It is the harmony of our infinite wisdom that, just as the creation of the universe always revolves around us, and as it revolves, the earth is fecundated and the natural life of all creatures is maintained, in the same way, this new creation of the conception of the Immaculate Lady revolves always around God, and God revolves around her, and this revolving maintains the fecundity of good, forms the sanctity of souls, and the calling of creatures to God. Fiat.